last part of this lesson tonight is a special. Now, love is the fountain of joy in human hearts, the cosmic mind in human consciousness. God is love, therefore love is not relative. It is a reality beyond analysis. Immediately you try to analyze love, you have lost it. It defies analysis for the simple reason that is beyond mind. The mind of man can become aware of love, but does not know what it is, only knows that it is. Love is that created principle in life that is eternally functioning in the spiritual, always expressing itself outwardly in the material. Therefore, we see that love is not anything that we can analyze, nor can we probe into, because immediately we do so, we lose it. Love is something that comes into the being when the self dissolves away. When love is in full force, the self does not exist because love swallows up the self in its expression. This is the great truth we must learn if we are to love and be loved. Because love is the saving of mankind. Without this love, there is no possibility of the world surviving. To be truly loved, there is union in which the self disappears. You should not try to recapture those moments, because you then make love relative, just a memory. Love is not a memory. Love is always present and flows into the soul at any time the soul makes way for it. But when the self is inevident, there can be no true love. Try it out and see. Analyze your own position. Analyze your feelings of love, that love that flows into you, the self disappears entirely. Self is swallowed up in love. But if the self is in evidence, and the more evidence of the self can be seen, the less love there is. But when the self is in evidence, there can be no true love. If you want to feel the joy of love, you must lose yourself in love. Perhaps you think you love your wife, your husband, your children. The great test is how much self is in your love. Do you love your children because of yourself? That you always want to put the self in front? That your children must do this and must do that and so forth, and that is your love for your children. If you analyze it, you will see it is not love at all. Do you do things for love, or do you do things because you love? To truly love, you must become love itself. Most of our troubles today arise from the fact that as a child, our natural love God's love, born in us, died because it was never given a chance to express itself because of the ignorance of our parents who themselves did not know how to love. Yes, a wife or a husband may be a dutiful wife or husband and dutiful parents, but have they learned the art of true loving? Most have not, because their parents and their parents' parents did not understand what love meant. They thought that to love God was a virtue, but this virtue became a vice because they mostly saw evil in others. There is no love in this kind of virtue. One may try to do good or try to be virtuous, but that is not love. That is going away from love. Love is an inward, unknowable virtue that takes no cognition of any of these things, for it itself is free, complete, in all its goodness. It is like honey. It lives in its own sweetness. True love does not bind another through possessiveness or dependence. Love is the expression of God, who loves all irrespective of who and what they are. God's only concern is our happiness, the expression of His happiness, His divine nature. And that is why, when we seek happiness, we can only get it from that which is within and not from without. You think that because you desire love, that you have love. Let me tell you, that is the wrong attitude altogether. You must understand love to be that which in itself is the total expression of life in its greatness. It moves through everything, and it is in its greatness in the Christ, which dwells in every human being. If you love others, all you will be concerned in is their happiness. But how can you help others to find that happiness unless you have first found it yourself? Have you hamstrung yourself? Many have, for the simple reason that they, although good, kind, and generous, do not know how to open up the flow of the living water of love from within. This can only be done when the self has disappeared. If the self is always present, there can be no true love. Search your own minds and hearts and see if you say that you love. See how much self there is in that love, and you will know how true that love is. Physical relationship in itself is not love, but true love makes physical relationships beautiful and raises it up to the divine nature that created us in this way. And there we must see that behind this human nature there is a greater nature. that is expressing itself through us. But only through love can we bring this human nature up to that divine nature that created us in this human flesh. But we will know that the flesh has no say in the matter. Only the divine nature is lasting. When you know this love, you're always in love. Looking at a beautiful sunset, a lovely scene in nature, you can enjoy this as if you were one with each other. There is no need to talk or say a word because the self has disappeared. You are swallowed up in the love of beauty, this love that dissolves the self away. Love is not a mental or a physical thing, and there's no use of trying to find out what it is, because you're only searching in vain. We do not know what electricity is. No one has ever seen electricity, but we use it. We know that it is. No one has ever seen light. No one knows what it is, but I am alive and living, and you see the manifestation of life, as you see the manifestation of electricity. It is the same with love. It's not a mental thing or a physical thing. Love is spiritual, and that's why many people make the mistake. They think that it is a mental or a physical thing. That is why one grows naturally in the surroundings of love. Love is not taking, but giving in such a way that the other grows in the soil of love in freedom. By your giving, you do not bind the person if you love them. You do not bind them with your gifts or your kindness. That's not love. You give because you love. Therefore, you see that the person who receives is free. There is no possessiveness. How many people give with the idea of creating love? That is not love. That is a desire. Love is spontaneous in its action. It rises and wells through the being, and the being becomes conscious of this flow of this divine nature. The being does not know what it is, but he is swallowed up in it. It is just piercing the minds of those who have the welfare of children and human beings at heart that love is the most essential thing in their lives. The cause of most delinquency is the fact that the inherent love within has been thwarted. The world to these become drab indeed. We will bring that inherent beauty to the surface when we begin to love, for there is little wrong with the one who truly loves. As love is God, you will find you get nearer to him through love than from all your virtues, from all your beliefs, or your trying to be good, to gain a place in the sight of God. And if you love unselfishly, with freedom, Learning that love to become part of yourself. You can throw your virtues to the wind because they're of no value to you. They become a vice. I am taking you deeper than the ordinary thought that comes to most people when they talk of love. We talk of love so glibly. When you are love itself, you are never angry when another does something wrong. There's a friendliness that leads to the human heart, which leads to right thinking. Even the worst offenders will respond to love, and you will find that inherent beauty within the soul will come to the surface. To check, to criticize, to denounce, or punish is a hindrance to the true expression of the love of God that is within. It has been said that if you spare the rod, you spoil a child. I never heard such damn foolery in all my life. What is necessary is to understand the child, because probably these parents have never understood themselves, so they would never be able to understand the child. But if you love deep enough, if you have this love that is God alone in you, then you will understand every breath of the child, every movement, every word. And you will see that the child is seeking that very love that is within itself. It's seeking an expression for it. But when this love is thwarted, then there is a drab life, very drab indeed. Everyone can rise, even if they have lost that particular love. Perhaps it could be squashed. Think about it more and more, and think of your oneness with love. Then it will rise to the surface, become the beauty of the soul within, where the Christ dwells. Good citizenship is brought into being by love, and not by harshness, both in the home and the institution. The beautiful wife, the clever child, the brilliant husband is excellent and brings approval. But that is not love. Sometimes the ugly duckling is more fortunate. Love is expressed through the touch of the hand, the tone of the voice, the look in the eye, the smile on the face, and the absence of the self. Oh, love, where art thou? When you see them and hear these words, and you ask yourself, oh, love, where art thou? You begin to seek deeper than the mental or the physical, because love is not physical or mental, as some people try to believe. Some people think they can find out what love is and find its ingredients as you look into a plum pudding. It is nothing of the sort. And there is where many of our intellectuals go wrong. They themselves have not found the fountain of love. Love is a fountain of joy in human hearts, the cosmic mind in human consciousness. The way to make children loving is to love them selflessly, respecting them as people, as individual souls, for they may be much older than you are. Let them grow up with individuality. Some people smother their children with everything, doing everything for them, thus destroying their dependence, destroying their confidence and their courage in life. Some parents offer something in return for their obedience or for their good behavior. Thus buying off leads to disaster later on. When a child grows up, he or she thinks that they can buy themselves out of anything. And when this fails, there is frustration, disappointment, and misery. You must never confuse the issue. Appeasement is not love. When one loves, one acts normally. When one does not love, they act abnormally. There can be no true love except that the self has passed away and two become as one. We must look deeper than the outer self to find peace and love. Some are continually caught up in the net of a guilty conscience. Think of the prodigal son. The father never held anything against him, but the brother did. Immediately the son came to the father, he put his arms around him and brought in the best robe, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, killed the fatted calf and all were merry. When you begin to realize the truth, you'll begin to love your neighbor and also yourself. If you love your neighbor first, you will better able to love yourself. But if you're always seeing the bad in your neighbor, you are sure to see it in yourself. The master said, "Take the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite, and you may see better how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye." In fact, we see that this reminds us of our own shortcomings first, before we deal with those in our brothers. Live in reality more than you would do in the relative. And all will be well. Many illnesses have their root in carrying the burden too long and too far through introspection. Love is the cure. Lose yourself in love. This love does not mean that you only love your wife, your husband, a few friends. There must be a capacity to love, a capacity for goodwill towards all. This is the only way that the world will change. If we hate people, we'll be hated. If we dislike, we'll be disliked. If we love, we will be loved. Why not try and follow in the Master's footsteps and see what will happen, individually and collectively? The world will be made over to love. And there will be peace and goodwill to all men. Yes, we repeat the phrases of the Master in parrot fashion. And we think because we can learn a few phrases of what the Master said, it will be a screen that will hide us. There is no hiding behind any screen. But I say this, no matter what screens there are, learn to love. The screens will dissolve away into nothingness where they belong. They are mental, not spiritual. Paul says, love is very patient, very kind. Love knows no jealousy, makes no parade, gives itself no airs, is never rude, never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness, always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears. It is the eternal thing, ever present. Without love, there can be no creation of beauty. Master says, I give you a new command, to love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. By this, everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is my message to you, that you love one another as I love you. Now we will turn to Lesson 9, just before the Master prepares to wash the feet of the disciples. All I can do is to point out the way that each one of you must make your own personal approach. But your sincere desire for truth will produce a corresponding unfolding of love and truth. And when the supreme truth is reached, you will find in your final recognition of the divine name, I am, that God is love. That is why Christ was born love. The greatest man on earth, because he was love. This is well portrayed in the Master's act of washing the feet of his disciples. In John 3:13-3, it says, the Father Father had put everything into his hands, knowing that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from the table, laid aside his robe, and tied a towel around him, then poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, wiping them with the towel he had tied round him. He came to Simon Peter. "Lord," said he, "you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not understand just now what I am doing, but you will understand it later on." Said Peter, "You will never wash my feet, never. Unless I wash you," Jesus replied, "you will not share my lot." "Lord," said Simon Peter, "then wash not only my feet, but my hands and head." Verse 12, Jesus said, "Do you know what I have been doing to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. That's what I am. Well, if I washed your feet, I who am Lord and teacher, you are bound to wash one another's feet. For I have been setting you an example, that you should do what I have done to you. Truly, truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than he who sent him. If you know all this, blessed are you if you really do it. He who receives one I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." What a wonderful truth. He who receives me receives him who sent me. These words of Jesus speak for themselves. The example was showing that if they considered him supreme and he served them, they must also serve one another. In other words, I show you that I love you, you must also love one another. Could there be anything greater and more beautiful than this complete selfless love, an expression of the divine nature? And all his disciples were not faithful to him. And this is a lesson for all. In verse 18 it says, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, "He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me." Jesus was referring to the scripture Psalm 41, 7 and 9, old version. "All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my heart. Yes, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat off my table, has lifted up his heel against me." Jesus must have been a keen student of the scriptures and knew what the prophets had voiced before him and also what they said about him. Although there is a personal aspect about this saying, there is also the spiritual. The personal sense, who has not experienced so-called friends who lie and speak ill against you, while at the same time they eat your bread and sup with you? Letting enter into your own hearts, these things are all meant for us. We don't need to be ashamed of our shortcomings. What we've got to do is discern them so we don't perpetuate them. Nor do we have to hide from them and try and shrug our shoulders and get away from them. That doesn't do any good. It is to silently and quietly observe them and see where we are moving. Are we moving towards the Judas, or are we moving towards the Christ? You can soon find out in your own hearts. But when you love deep enough, then you will find the true nature of the Christ. Then I have said before, cast your virtues to the wind. Seek that which is real, that which is in itself reality and perfection, with no blemish. It cannot be tarnished by any thought or any movement of the outer self. It stands supreme and sublime. I am that light. In the ancient script, in the book of Enoch, he says, know ye not that ye speak ill against the Son of Man, who is by divine birth the Son of God? This is interpreted as the other self, knowing not the self, speaks ill against the Lord that dwells within, when the other self is ignorant of its true nature. This self, being caught up in the outer, tries to save itself, but by doing so loses itself. But by giving up the self to the greater self, so that the greater self monitors, the self retains the self. Only those who have deeper understanding can fathom this wonderful truth. Unless you forsake everything, even your own life, can be no disciple of mine. Jesus knew Judas still clung to the outer self. Thus he was troubled in spirit, and his agony of mind was visible to John, who sat next to him. Truly, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Disciples looked at one another, each at a loss to know which one of them he meant. They were not sure of themselves, their consciousness of innocence they doubted because of the declaration of the Christ. Is it not so with everyone, even with the disciples? This weakness of the outer self is seen clearly. There is no one innocent, any human frame. Only God. Jesus made it plain when they called him good, Master. He said, do not call me good. There is no one good but God. Even the stalwart, impetuous Peter said to Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have disowned me thrice over. Look into your own hearts and see if that is not there. In this lesson there is a very deep significance. Words cannot describe it. Even if I tried to describe it, I would spoil it for you. The answer is found in your own souls. Each one will find it in his own way. Benedict. Infinite Spirit, reveal to me the eternal nature in which I live forever, so that I shall never again be afraid. Help me to remember that thy son Jesus, our elder brother, still lives even though his ascension meant to bless me, O Blessed One, with thy unlimited power to overcome the weaknesses of my outer self. Then I shall know whether I am awake, asleep, or dreaming, that thy eternal loving presence is always with me. Thou art with me always, and I am with thee in Christ forever. I will say, with love for all, and to thee I commend my spirit. My outer self struggles no longer. O infinite Father of mine. Here we see the most magnificent and wonderful life shown and portrayed by Jesus, a man born in the flesh, the Christ that is born in every living child. In every babe that is born, then the Christ is born. Because God is infinite in nature, there is but one Spirit, even the Christ. In this we learn to love one another. Without it, the world is dark indeed. Not only the world outside, but our own lives. Therefore, think deeply of what I have said tonight. He has given us a command to love one another as he loves us. Now, just as it was 2,000 years ago, it is just now, because there is no past nor future. There is only the present. The present is always present. That presence that is eternal has no future, no past. It is the eternal now. just as it was 2,000 years ago. So it is this very moment. My peace remains with you. When it has come, it will stay. It has always been there. Yes, the love of God dwells in each and every one of you. This is my peace. It is yours also. Now, we have come to the end of this series of lectures. But there are better ones later on. And I'm sure when I return that there will be an enthusiasm for more of this real teaching. The mental is all right. The physical is all right. But in themselves, they carry nothing. They are but the expression of something that is hidden, greater. Let us find that which is hidden, that which is greater. Then we will know better and much more about the mental and the physical. It is this teaching that we so utterly devoid of. The present time, the world is in chaos because of it. The lack of it is destroying humanity. A group like this can spread and understand the truth. Jesus had 12 disciples. Since then, his teaching has spread all over the world. You can carry this message too, in your home, in your business place. Don't think it's a religion, or a belief, or an idea. Because these things are not truth. Christ does not need a religion to live, nor an idea or an image to live. It is not your family tree that keeps your heart beating, nor your belief, nor your tradition. It is that which is life itself. Let us find more and more of this life in us, so that we can give expression to it. And by your going about quietly and judiciously, take this out of beliefs, out of religion, out of systems, out of the mental, out of the physical, and give it its true place.